Good morning, Grace City Church. I hope y'all are doing well. I'm super excited to be able to bring you the message this morning. But before I do, I just want to go over a couple of things. Firstly, for those of you that may not recognize me, or maybe this is one of your first times visiting, my name is Justin. I'm the worship pastor and one of the elders here at Grace City Church. Our house church is in the Temple area, right off Rainy Road. So I am super thankful to have you, and we believe here that when we develop tight bonding relationships that are a lot of times happening in people's homes, it's a perfect environment to see discipleship flourish the way that we believe that it should. Now, it comes with its own struggles because it is definitely different than traditional church is normally done, especially here in the South, but this is the way that a lot of churches did things way back in the Bible days, but even currently, all over the world, people are meeting in homes and having church with one another because we are the church. So, again, super thankful that you are here. One thing that you may not have been aware of that I wanted to share with y'all is this past week at our house church, we were able to rent out our community pool, and we baptized Cody Volrath, who is a newcomer to our church, but he is a newcomer to the faith, and there is nothing more exciting that we get to celebrate than someone's proclamation of faith before the people. So, very exciting, very exciting. And also, we're going to try and continually make these updates. Our URL for our website has changed. It is gracecitycollective.com. So if that is the place that you go to give your regular tithe giving or offering or gifts, please make sure that you don't go to the old link. It probably won't even work, but go to Grace City Collective, and you can give on there. All right. Well, let's quick recap kind of what we've been going over before we hop into the message. So Pastor Tommy was talking about Zacchaeus and some really important things that I think we note as we go into today's message is that he was seeking who Jesus was. He literally climbed up in a tree so he could see Jesus. He heard what was going on. He needed to know who Jesus was. He responded in obedience to Jesus. And verse 6 says that Zacchaeus received him joyfully. I really love that. I love that phrasing, that he received him joyfully. And then he took immediate action in repentance and received salvation. And he saw Jesus rightly for who he was. It brought humility into his life. And he was prepared to do whatever it took. And he did it immediately. Such a great example. And then it says that all the onlookers, they grumbled, clearly not seeing the Lord's actions as just or right. So, as we transition today's message, we'll be going through the parable that Jesus tells. It's about a nobleman who becomes a king, and he exercises his authority by blessing some of the servants according to their faithfulness and hard work, and he punishes others for their rebellious hearts. So we see this contrast going on here, and we'll dig into that here shortly. So let's pray and dig into God's Word together. Will you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you that you have given me a voice to speak your word in a way that I am not even persecuted for it, Father. And I pray that you would bring a humility into my heart as we approach these passages, and that you would teach us something about your character and your goodness and who you are. And that it would bring a deeper understanding and love and affection for our Savior. Lord, we need that so deeply that I feel like we become so easily calloused and we don't even understand the blessings that you have given us. And it's impossible, Father, to please you if we don't have grateful and thankful hearts. So, Lord, would you please teach us what that means? To trust and obey and know that you are sovereign and you are trustworthy. So, Lord, as we dig into these things, I pray that you would work on our hearts and our minds, and that you would be among our conversation, that you would encourage us to be open as we talk about these things or maybe have questions, and that you would do a miraculous work, Lord. We love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to be in Luke chapter 19. We're going to be picking up in verses 11 through 15 is going to be the first portion, and then we'll finish out after that. So I'll give you a moment as you turn Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 11. All right, here we go. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas, and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. All right, let's stop there for just a moment. Jesus tells this parable immediately before going to Jerusalem, where he is to be crowned king. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, they were saying in Luke chapter 19, verse 38, but soon is to be rejected by his people. This identifies Jesus with the nobleman in the parable. And the crowd shouting, crucify him, in Luke 23, verse 21, with the people in the parable who opposed this nobleman becoming king or his coronation. By this we know that the people have profoundly misjudged their soon-to-be king, except for the two servants who work diligently in his absence. And that's where we're going to pick up reading about here in verse 16. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow? Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. He says, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but there are some hard things said throughout Scripture. But what is Jesus talking about here? Is this some kind of gross overreaction to help drive home a point? I don't think so, but we must know what's going on here. I read through this passage many times this week, just considering what the Lord wanted me to speak about. I have 4 boys, as many of you may know, so it was actually very tempting for me to just camp out on the first half of this passage and talk about being good stewards with what God has entrusted us, and to talk about thankfulness, gratitude, hard work, and how the Lord blesses those who are faithful. These things are very true and important, and even very relevant within this passage. But in the last few verses, Jesus says some things that bring a whole new light and overtone to the passage, and quite honestly, is terrifying. So let's go back to Jesus' response and see what is going on there. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. There's a question mark there. He's saying that this is who you thought I was. He says, okay, let's go with that. This is who you thought I was. He says, then why did you not put my money in the bank at my coming that I might have collected it with interest? He's saying, well, if it was for fear that you did this, then why didn't you just take my money and put it aside and at least make some interest on it? He's calling out the man's hypocrisy and his rebellion and his lies. So church, like, what does this mean for us? I'm afraid that many of us would like, in our complacency and our faith, to a simple issue of laziness. Like, he just left and he came back and we didn't do anything and you know, oops. Maybe we blame it on a lack of time or resources. But isn't everything that we've been given come from the King? Are we not also tasked with the same command to invest in God's kingdom? Whether it's wealth, our health, or simply our faith, it's by God's grace that you have it, and He has commanded you to work, like work hard. And has shown in this very parable that the blessings will far surpass the sacrifice. But don't make a mistake. This message is not just about those things. Is God who He says He is? Please, church, don't delude yourself to think that your refusal to invest in God's kingdom is just one of lacking desire. It's very likely that you have shown no change in all of your years knowing Christ, that you are a part of the people that sent out a delegation against the King. If you haven't shown any growth in your faith in all these years, then we need to come back and question something. What is going on? What is at the heart of all of it? It's too easy to stay up here on the surface, but one day the King will return and there will be a judgment that is made. So my message, church, is a simple one. I'm not going to go long. It's one of repentance. So church, like, we need to repent. For the kingdom of God is near. We need to repent. There is a judgment to come, and I don't mean to discourage you, church. I bring this word to you in hopes that at least one person may hear it and wake up. To those of you who have worked diligently, I want to remind you of what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 says. It says, consider Him, that's Christ, who endures from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And I also would encourage you to keep reading on in Hebrews chapter 12. It's an encouragement to all kinds of believers. So, and finally, to those of you who may not know Christ as Lord, I want to tell you that He is good, and that there is nothing else in this world that can satisfy the heart of man. There is freedom to be found in Christ, and you may think that there's freedom in you doing whatever you want and just seeking out every desire, but there's also someone in the Bible that talks about doing that experiment for you. So I encourage you to ask and look into that. But the man heart is empty, and there's something that is missing there. And I want to implore that you talk with someone, you ask them about what it means to follow Christ, and consider the cost, and consider the way that it will change your life. But I promise you, this is a promise that I'm making you, but the Lord has also made to you, that He will give you exponentially far greater than you have to lay down. So trust me, He is worth it, and there is freedom to be found in Christ. So church, I know that it was short and sweet, but I want you to be able to discuss these things and have some conversations. I love you, and it is really on my heart that we come back to the foundational questions of our faith. That maybe there is an issue to why there has been no change in our faith for many years. I'm not saying that's all of you, but But I see a church as a whole. There's a lot of people that call themselves believers, or they say they believe in God. But there is a difference between believing in God and calling Him Lord. And there is a very real warning that the Lord is giving us in this parable, in this message for us. And I think we should really heed that message. So church, be encouraged, knowing that Christ is for you, not against you, and that He is good, but He is just. So let's trust Him, and let's put our faith in Him, knowing that when we are sons and daughters of His, He blesses us abundantly, far greater than anything that we have to lay down. So let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this message that You've given me. I thank You for what it has done in my own heart. And I pray that those that hear it would be moved by Your Spirit. Not by anything that I've done or said, but a supernatural work that I cannot do, Father. So I thank You for salvation in my own life and my family's life. And I pray that I would act upon that in sharing my faith with others, that I would invest into Your kingdom the way that You've called us to do, and that we would encourage others to do that, Father. And for those of us that that are not sure where we stand, I pray that we would ask those hard questions and we would choose to either follow You or walk away, but not stand in the middle and not be lukewarm. Lord, I pray that You would be a crossroads for us to make that decision, and that ultimately people would follow You and they would see that You are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we love You. We praise You. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.